Welcome to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant in North Idaho. And here's where we talk about issues relating to teens, struggling teens, troubled teens, and the people that are trying to work with them. Today, I have a guest is Lydia Missel. Lydia, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, Lon. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here today and getting to talk about something that I feel passionate about.
Okay, that's good. I'm looking forward to this. Well, Lydia is a therapist at Blue Fire Wilderness in southern Idaho, and we're going to talk about mindfulness. Now, mindfulness has been very, very popular, and I'm enthused about it, and I know Lydia is from what she says, but we're going to take another different take on that, and the topic is mindfulness. Do they know what they're talking about? So, Lydia, what did you mean by that question, do they know what they're talking about? Who are you thinking about?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I'm thinking about all the people that use mindfulness in the field of psychotherapy, and I'm talking about professionals who use that word also interchangeably with meditation and mindfulness. It's been a question of mine of, is there a difference? How do we know the difference? How do we distinguish between what it is that we are talking about when we say the word mindfulness? What are we trying to address when we ask that question?
Yeah, it seems to me like I've noticed that mindfulness and meditation, generally when you're talking about mindfulness, somewhere term meditation in there, but there's something different. Could you explain what the difference is?
So I would say the difference is mindfulness is sort of seems like in our field that it is a word that is used frequently to access a certain benefit of mindfulness in terms of stress reduction, calming, relaxation. Meditation, I would say, would be more ascribing to a certain type of practice that is a person might be committed to. So mindfulness might be a part of a Buddhist tradition of meditation. But what the question that I was curious about and do they know what they are talking about is it's used so frequently that it makes me wonder when people use the term if they actually understand what mindfulness means or if they're just using it because it's a buzzword.
That very well could be. We're humans and humans are fallible, and there's been a lot of things that have become very popular, fads you could say, that people look at and say they do it and they really have something entirely in mind. They only have a surface knowledge of it. And so how could you tell if a person really knows what they're talking about or if they're just using a buzz term?
So I would say one of the main things is that the person who uses mindfulness in practice would be someone who has had particular training and also personal practice and personal experience using mindfulness on a regular basis. In order to teach it, I think it's important that people who are teaching it have a specific understanding of what that might mean and in what context might be appropriate in using mindfulness instead of just using it on a sort of catch-all, I guess I would say, a catch-all way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let me follow through on that. So if somebody's talking about meditation, are they necessarily doing mindfulness, or is that just that's one way you can meditate to enhance mindfulness skills?
My understanding at this point would be that if they're talking about meditation, they definitely could be mindful during meditation. But I would say there's a difference in using the term mindfulness and saying it's meditation.
Okay, well, I think that's...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, and it's like all things, the boundaries are a little bit fuzzy, but
exactly.
That makes sense. Okay, let's do it this way. You're a therapist in a wilderness program. How do you use mindfulness? Give me a little bit of a whereas or specific.
Overview of it. Yeah, so one of the things that I like to speak about with our program that I feel really excited about, that we are using mindfulness frequently in our sort of treatment with youth, at-risk youth ages 13 to 17, one of the things that I sort of, we use it as a way to teach kids grounding, centering, pausing, and sort of becoming aware of their bodies in the context, their spatial awareness in terms of relationship to nature particularly, and also relationship to self and others, I guess.
So exactly.
So there's several different relationships going on there.
Yeah. Well, exactly. What do you mean? What would you ask a kid to do if you told that to a kid? They'd look at you with a blank stare.
Right.
You're talking about what you have in mind, but exactly what do they do? Do they put left foot forward, right foot forward, or whatever, you know?
Right, exactly. That's a great question. So often, a good example that I can describe in terms of one way that I do mindfulness is I do sort of a basic standing posture, and I instruct kids to become aware of their feet on the floor, and I ask them to focus on all four corners of the feet, and then I move up the body and bring the awareness back to the back and forth to the breath. And so we can do this at any point. So oftentimes I'll use this as a way to center, transition also, so center before an activity, but also as a way to transition into a sort of, well, how I use it is I transition through mindfulness into the equine therapy session, because I feel that it's important, especially being around horses where there's risk associated with it. The more aware we can be, the better it is for all, across all boards in terms of emotional and physical safety. And so that makes me think of the other piece of this conversation that we're having is the appropriateness of using mindfulness and the understanding of mindfulness. Because if I'm working with a student who's really activated and really overwhelmed with their emotional state, mindfulness may be too much to instruct them to do at the time, and they may need to be sort of work up to that, I guess. And so that would be done through individual sessions and introducing them on a very slow pace.
Would it be possible to use
it to a place maybe like a standing pose that I was speaking about?
Would it be possible to use the term pay attention to what's going on with yourself as well as what's going on around you, but pay attention? Would that be a sort of a simplification?
Absolutely.
But it's
that would
direction.
Be a perfect word. Yes.
Okay. That's something that one thought I had when I started hearing about this is when I was in the Boy Scouts. That was many years
mm-hmm.
ago. One of the exercises they would use would be to go into a room and have a bunch uh-huh. of objects around the room and then study uh-huh. them for about 60 seconds and then walk out and then mm-hmm. try to remember everything and recite everything you saw. Now, it sounds to me like if you're mindful, you would do well. If you're distracted and couldn't be mindful,
totally.
You'd do poorly.
That's a great example. And I think that that's the other piece that maybe we're getting to as you and I are talking about this topic, is that mindfulness can be used. There's other words that can be used. For some reason, the term mindfulness and mindful has become a buzzword. But that's not the only word that we can use to bring ourselves into more greater awareness of our surroundings and our relationship to ourself, relationships, interpersonal relationships, and then maybe the natural world.
Okay.
The other example I'll share really quick that we often will use, or that I've used frequently in my practice as a therapist, is using a raisin and studying the raisin as a mindful activity before tasting it. So you go through all the different senses. So another way to access mindfulness, to understand mindfulness, would be through the five senses.
Okay, so checking these senses and concentrate
yeah.
on them. All righty.
Yeah, but I love your example of the Boy Scout one, too, because, I mean, that's a very sort of, and I can think of that, too, in my upbringing in terms of what I learned growing up in mm-hmm. just multiple arenas, but we never said mindfulness, you know?
Okay.
But that's what we were doing, essentially, so it's really interesting, I think.
Yeah, well, it's been around in different terms, but it seems like it's gotten more sophisticated and more
mm-hmm.
important. Well, we've about ran out of time in this short interview, but if somebody wanted to talk to you more about it on that, or learn more about your work, how would they get a hold of you? A phone number, email, website for Blue Fire, whichever.
Yeah, so I could direct people to our website, which is www.bluefirewilderness.com. And then my email is lmissal@bluefirewilderness.com. And my phone number would be 406-546-2025. And I would be happy to talk further about this topic with anyone that is interested. It's something I feel really excited about.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Lydia, for this.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lon, for asking me to do this with you.
And incidentally, for those that are listening, this is March 23rd, early afternoon on that. And we've been talking about mindfulness and some of the downsides of that. And this is Lon Woodbury of the Woodbury Report. And most of my writings and interviews are on www.strugglingteens.com. Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much, Lydia.